apart.
Is he still on the Steelers? Have they cut him yet?
They haven't cut yet, but he's gonna get cut. What I read.
All right, we're gonna go to the big break. When we come back in the second hour, this college coaches shutting down social media thing.
Okay,
it's been lingering out there.
They didn't answer your text.
It's time that we address it here on this show.
Okay.
Some hot takes on that. What do y'all think? 229-1939. Let us know, and we will get y'all's thoughts on the subject as well. Also coming in the second hour, Eli Manning wants to get paid a bunch. Talk about that. And everyone knows the two things we love most on this show, space news and shenanigans. We have some shenanigans to talk about in the second hour. Little League Softball World Series shenanigans that we will address in the second hour. So send us your text, 229-1939, and we'll come back. We'll talk about social media. We'll talk about Clemson. We'll talk about all kinds of stuff. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Listen to your favorite shows with Gabe, Louie, Aubrey, and Chip weekdays on the Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150. This is KZNE, KNDE HD3, and KNDE HD4, K274CM, College Station Bryan.
I'm Jay Berman. This report is brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To see how much you could save, call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO or visit geico.com. Regardless of how long the Chargers stay in San Diego, Phillip Rivers will be under center for them for at least a few more years, and he's happy about it. That, of course, coming after that gigantic contract extension.
Me and my family are very grateful for the opportunity and the commitment that I've been showed and the opportunity to be the quarterback here.
Right. Rivers is happy, so is Jadeveon Clowney. Texan back practicing and relieved to be doing so.
I was going
to
work hard and just try to push for a good time to come back, and I'm feeling great.
All right, elsewhere, according to sources, Tom Brady now will not be in New York City for a federal court hearing. Originally, he was supposed to be. Meanwhile, the Steelers have released quarterback Taj Boyd. Baseball now. Waiver trade deadline coming up. Lots of rumors suggesting the Phillies will trade Chase Utley. Not the case, says Ruben Amaro Jr.
As I told you before, it's very likely he'll be here in Philadelphia through the end of the year, and then we'll see what happens after that.
All right, that was Amaro speaking to WIP Radio this morning in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, the Kansas City Royals have a 12.5 game lead in the American League Central. Ned Yost, the manager, is not surprised.
We're a good team. We don't panic. We don't get down. You know, we just continue to show up to the ballpark every day ready to play and ready to win.
All right, the Royals will visit the Reds in Cincinnati tonight, so not too bad of a road trip for Kansas City. I'm Jay Berman.
Looking for the latest fantasy football news? Listen to Eye on Fantasy Football, Saturday nights at 10 Eastern on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Patrick Ziner with your community calendar on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM, brought to you by R.P. Lee Termite and Pest Control, shielding and protecting homes against pests for over 30 years. For more information, visit rpleepestcontrol.com. Tomorrow, the Bryan Police Department will host this month's Coffee with a Cop. All community members are invited. It's from 8 to 10 at the Brazos Valley African American Museum. Grimes County Back to School Health and Safety Day is tomorrow from noon to 5 at the fairgrounds in Navasota. Free school supplies, health screenings, and door prizes. Call 936-873-3907 for more information. Registration continues for the Caprock ER and Cougar 5K Run, providing scholarships for College Station High seniors. More information online at cshscougarclub.com. Today, a slight chance of rain, mostly sunny and 96. Tonight, partly cloudy and 77. It's another spirit stop with The Zone and Buppy's Barbecue when Aggie Soccer takes on Northwestern State this Sunday night at 6. Stop by the Zone tent and register to win a Zone care package. For more information, visit the events tab at zone1150.com.
This
This year, you can attend a real, live, authentic Oktoberfest celebration without traveling 5,000 miles to Munich. It's Oktoberfest in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. The 35th anniversary of Oktoberfest in Fredericksburg is Friday through Sunday, October 2nd through the 4th. Experience a colorful, festive celebration of Fredericksburg's German heritage. Four stages of oompa music, arts and crafts, street tents, and the best beer, beverages, German food, and fun on the market plots. West Main Street in the heart of downtown Fredericksburg. There'll even be a children's fun area for families. The celebration kicks off on Friday, October 2nd at 6 p.m. and continues through 6 p.m. Sunday, October 4th. Visit OktoberfestinFBG.com for a complete schedule of events. That's OktoberfestinFBG.com. Bizbald.
Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Give your truck authority. Texas Truck Riggins will help you hook up your rig the way you want it with a wide variety of truck accessories, spray-in bed liners, grill guards, toolboxes, goosenecks, and more. The best products well within your budget. We can also powder coat patio furniture, old iron beds, and wheels, just to name a few. All with quick turnaround and straightforward answers to your questions. Visit Texas Truck Riggins on South College Street across from the Lake of the Bryan Municipal Golf Course. Find us on Facebook or visit us at txtruckriggins.com.
You love soccer?
I couldn't beat it.
Then Chip Howard is not for you.
Sweet.
Weekdays 4 to 6 on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM.
And now it's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle on Sports Radio 1150, the Zone.
Second hour, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the new season, the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. So check that out for ticket information, all that good stuff. You can give us a call, 693-1150. You can text us at 229-1939. All right.
Okay.
Here, we're going to dive into this. This is one of those hot take arenas where everyone has just a dead set opinion and it's going to fly one way or the other. The question I have is not whether or not college coaches have the right to do this. They have the right to do whatever they want. Players can, well, within the law, of course. And players can choose to play for them and players can choose not to play for them.
Yeah, that's true.
The question is, should they? And in this particular case, we're talking about Clemson, and Florida State did this a little bit, I think, last year. And then some pro teams have done it, but that's totally different if pro teams do it. Completely shutting down social media. Dabo Swinney says no Twitter, no Instagram, no Face, no any of that stuff throughout the season. You all right with that?
Yes, if you got to know your team. And if you feel that's a distraction, then by all means, you have to do that. I've been here, I'll throw an example out. I've been here at the Eagle for, everybody knows, a long time. When we moved into this new building, the publisher did not allow us to drink Cokes at our desk, and no drinks, because you might spill them on the new surface or on the deal. But you could drink in your office. So that went over like a lead balloon, needless to say. Then they hired a new publisher. It was never forget. He was in there, and old publisher, you know, because the corporation. And then some guy raised his hand and goes, "Hey, can we drink Cokes at our desk?" And the new publisher started laughing. He goes, "That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Why wouldn't you be able to drink at, you know, the old publisher's back there just seething, getting ready?" but what I'm saying is, people are always going to be against it. The new coach might come in and say you can do social media, but if Sweeney says you can't do it, there's a reason that he thinks that's right. What about, you know, making Northgate off limits, or making any Aggieland or whatever it is in Kansas State, where Aggieville. Where they could,
yeah.
I mean, any coach can do that. Spurrier, didn't he have no tweeting there for a while for his team a couple years ago? So I don't have any problem with that.
I do.
Okay, you do? Okay.
Because the whole point of college in general, not college football, but of college, is for people to grow up. I mean, you got to, and it's
okay,
to learn.
You got to take orders in too.
Sure,
you got to give up things you want to do that you're not going to do for the betterment of all.
Yeah, well, let me get to that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think rather than banning it, and the thing about banning players from going to bars, that's what Florida State has done, is absolutely ludicrous, and that's probably that's got to be like a rights violation as far as I know. But that separately, the social media thing, the whole point of college is to learn, period. It's to learn. Learn how to be an adult. It's at A&M, they always say the education, the other education. I hate that phrasing because it's all one education. But you're learning stuff that's going to help you in your job. You're learning stuff that's going to help you away from your job, just in life, you know, because, you know, you meet a lot of friends that you're going to be with. And you grow up as a person in college and all this kind of stuff. They should take the time to sit down before the season, over the summer, in the off season, and tell guys the pros and cons of social media. Here's how you use it. Here's how you don't use it. Here's how it can help. Here's how it can't help. Here's how to make sure things that you're using on there are only going to the people that you mean for them to go to, like how to protect your phone number and making sure that kind of stuff doesn't get out. But absolutely, just flat out banning social media during the season is absurd to me, especially because for a younger generation, that's like how they communicate. I mean, they'd be like banning the telephone. I mean, if you're banning guys from like Snapchat and things like Instagram and stuff like that, and things that people use to talk to each other, I mean, it just seems ludicrous, is my whole deal. If that is a distraction, if you can't get your guys to learn when the place to use it, when not the place to use it. For example, like you mentioned, there's going to be things in life you can't do. Like, they could say, obviously, social media is part of our job here, but if they came in here and said, hey, no social media during the day, then we would all have to do that. If you want to shut it down while they're in the building, or while they're in the locker room, or while they're, you know, an hour before and after each practice, fine. But to completely shut off social media for the whole season seems absolutely insane to me. That's my big take on the whole thing.
But see, I don't. I'm just saying it's one of those things. If the coach feels that's a distraction, he's got the right to do that. I'm just saying is.
Oh, and again, he's got the right to do it.
I'm not saying, you know, he's got to do whatever. Because on the outside looking in, I've always thought, walk in my shoes. It's easy to sit here and tell Coach Sumlin what he should do, but I'm not Coach Sumlin. I'm not sitting up there in the Oval Office and saying, okay, we need to do this, we need to do that. He makes those choices, and he's got a one-loss record. He's got a salary. He's got a longevity. If he screws up, he gets fired. So that's his choices to make. Same thing with Sweeney. He's got to beat Spurrier. He's got to beat Jimbo Fisher. He's got to win enough games. If he thinks outlawing social media, preventing it, is going to do it, then do it.
But see, that's my whole point. If that's the case, then he's already lost. I mean, if social media is the difference, then he's already lost the battle.
Then you don't have to worry. He'll be gone in a year or two.
I'll put it this way. I would not let – if I had a kid, or I would not let my kid play for a coach that did that.
Then there's the flip side of that is that's what you also risk, because if your son's a five-star athlete in South Carolina, now you're going to send him to Sweeney, or you're going to send him to Steve Spurrier. That may decide it. And well, it does, and well, it should. You've seen these decisions. A lot of people send their kids in the heyday of Bobby Knight, knowing he might knock them up against the wall, but they wanted discipline. And there was other people say, I'm never sending my kid to Bobby Knight. But that's a choice Bobby Knight made when he decided to be who he is.
Yeah, the thing to me is on this in the case of Clemson, though, is it shows to me an unwillingness to teach. If you can't teach your guys how to properly use social media, instead you're just going to ban the whole thing, then what's that teaching? I mean, that's not a good life lesson. If you can't figure something out, if you can't get under control, then just ban it. I mean, to me, you got to show your guys how to use it. It's not that hard. People can use social media without getting into trouble. It's really easy. And then what you do is you say, look, here's the things you can and can't do on social media. If you if you tweet out an injury or a photo of a teammate or something like that, then you're going to run after practice. If you take something outside of this building that's only supposed to be in this building, then there's going to be punishments for that. But again, to shut off a whole part of life, really, for anyone this day and age, to me, it just seems ludicrous. It's like saying, hey, look, during the season, you're not a teenager. You're not an early 20s college student. You can't do those things that normal students do. You're a football player. And that, again, goes back to if these guys are college athletes, then they should be able to do that stuff. Now, again, that's why it's different for professionals. If you're getting paid, then
sooner can get paid, though.
Cost of attendance. If you're getting paid and that's in the rules, then that's in the rules. Guys aren't getting paid.
But they agree to sign on with that coach. That's why I'm all for when there's a coaching change. If you want to leave, go ahead and leave. But if you sign on for that coach and then he comes in there and says, hey, we got to do this, and there goes social media, then I say that's his right. That's his team. He can do that, and we'll see how it plays out.
Someone said, I'm a Clemson fan. Dabo tries to cut down on distractions during the season. The other 6 months, they can learn all they want. They go over all the pros and cons of social media in the offseason. Kids know what they are getting into when they come to Clemson, and it hasn't hurt recruiting at all, and they have won 10-plus games the last 3 years. I haven't heard that they've been doing this the last 3 years. This is the first year I've heard of this during the season, the no social media thing. And I would also be fine with, like, a social media blackout, let's say the 24 hours before a game, whatever. But, again, for the whole season, you're telling me it's distracting if a guy tweets out a comment watching a game on Thursday night on an off week? I mean, come on.
Sweeney, just cancel that in-house visit to you next week.
Get over yourself is my whole thing. It's just absurd. And, again, the thing about going to bars, one that Florida State's doing, is even worse. That's just flat out saying you don't trust your kids.
But both
of, you recruited those people.
Both of James Harrison's kids just committed to Clemson. I just read that online.
They won't be able to send out their participation tweets.
But they weren't able to commit by social media that column.
Now, like I said, that's why it's that's the other thing too, is you know the school's going to be using social media to promote football, so the guys can't use it. The thing to me is, and A&M, I think, has done a really good job of this. And they haven't had the only issues were with Johnny Manziel, and that's only because his Twitter account got bigger than he realized. I mean,
he went off his Twitter then.
Well, that's what I mean. His social media got bigger than he realized it was. But for the most part, A&M hasn't had any real big problems with social media, and I think they've done a really good job of using it as a tool for the athletes in a lot of ways to connect with the fan base. One of the things they're doing right now is the Aggie Football Life is doing their Ask the Aggies, where fans can tweet in questions, and then they ask one of the players. This week it's Myles Garrett, and they're going to have that out next couple days or whatever. But I think there's ways to go about using social media to teach the guys how to use it that would be far more beneficial.
Once
than
again,
just shutting the whole thing down.
You decide what you're going to do as a coach, what you're going to do as a program, what you're going to do as an athletic department, which is the AD's responsibility, Hyman, and whether you go to the president, that's all decided. And you work within the framework, and if you don't like it, you don't go there. And if you're looking for a school and you go, they're too rigid at Clemson, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go to this school because of that. That's a freedom of choice.
Drew says that Dabo's been doing this since he was at Clemson, but and maybe the players are fine with it, but to me, the bigger thing isn't so much that they won't let them do it. It just seems to be much better to teach the guys how to use it. I don't know, whatever. But Dabo's doing Dabo's thing, I guess. I don't like it.
Well, there's a lot of things.
Well, it just seems to me like you don't trust your own players if you're doing that. If you're shutting down social media, you're not letting guys go out to bars or whatever, you don't trust your own players. And you recruited these guys. You're in charge of these guys. You're supposed to be, you know, not a father figure to these guys. That's something that gets written in about all the time, but you don't have to be that. But
sure,
you're supposed to be helping raise these guys, if nothing, maybe not as children, but you're involved in the process. And you're basically saying you don't trust them.
And, of course, we live in an era where something's out there, something hits about athlete X, a college athlete, and you say, man, I need to go to his Twitter account and see what he's saying right now, seeing if he's saying anything about it. Like, just like everybody in the country goes to Johnny Manziel, I've gone to a lot of different athletes. Some of the athletes I go to, I'm just shocked at what's on their Twitter account, the foul language, the bad things, comments about women, whatever. I'm surprised university doesn't get more involved at times. I'm just saying is when I read what's on some people's Twitter accounts that they are in scholarship, I don't think the university's doing a good job monitoring their social media.
Well, then teach people better.
I'm just saying.
All right, we'll move on. Let's go to break.
Have you gone to anybody's social media, an athlete, and thought there was inappropriate things on there representing the university or not?
Not lately.
Okay.
There have been some in the past.
Now,
last year I found
a couple athletes. I was just appalled what was on their social media.
Well, and that's why I said I think A&M's done a better job. I think they, because a few years ago, well, but again, social media is also new in a lot of ways too. That in that there's certain outlets that not even the like older people know how to use yet. So the younger folks are still trying to figure it all out too. But I think A&M's learning, and I think they're doing better with their guys, making that a part of being a student athlete at A&M, is learning how to use that and how not to use it. And so I said, lately, I haven't seen anyone lately. Now, there was a couple of years ago.
Now, I was going to say, I haven't gone on Twitter accounts since football season. Because, last football season, for some reason, football athletes across the country get their names mentioned a lot more. And it's easy to go just, go ahead and search Phil Smith on Twitter, running back so-and-so. And you can get those Twitter accounts. And I was kind of appalled at some of the stuff that I read that I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, like I said, teach people better. That's my big thing.
But it wasn't a Clemson site.
No doubt, because they're not tweeting anything. All right, let's go to break. When we come back, let's lighten the mood. We got some shenanigans to talk about.
The mood's light, man.
I'm hyped about these shenanigans. These are upper-level shenanigans, okay. By the way. Yeah. I'm pretty excited. So we're going to come back. We'll talk about that. Hit us up, 229-1939. Someone asked if you just gave us a lecture about social media. Doesn't that involve the internet? You're famously not a huge internet fan.
I'm on the internet. I don't tweet. Let's get the facts right there.
You've blacklisted yourself from Twitter for the last 3 years?
Yes, I have. I don't want to say anything offend anyone.
And how many national titles have you won? None. There you go.
How many big games have I lost? None.
All right, let's get a break. We'll come back. Aggie Nation powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
All right, man. Everything's all set for tonight. Nobody will be home.
Cool. What time can I come over?
The party is starting around 8. Just remember, you gotta bring something for the party.
There's a liquor cabinet. It's full, but it's locked.
Dang.
I mean, there's the medicine cabinet. We got cough syrup, headache stuff. Ooh, and mom's nerve and pain stuff.
Perfect. Grab as much as you can.
The liquor cabinet is not the only cabinet that needs to be locked. For more information, visit StopRxDrugAbuse.org.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees.
Zone headquarters in Houston for the Aggies and the Sun Devils will be at the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center. Starting at 3 o'clock, Dusty and I'll get you ready for the new season with the Coors Light pregame show. Then, after the game, starting 30 minutes after the game, the party known as the post-game call-in show, both live from the lobby of the Holiday Inn NRG. If you're looking for a place to stay the night before or after the game, the Holiday Inn NRG is attached to the parking lot of the stadium. They've also just underwent a $12 million renovation. They've got a full-service bar, full-service restaurant. And if you're looking for a place to park for the game, they have a $30 parking special, which includes two drinks that you can enjoy while listening to the pregame show, or take them to go as you walk to the stadium for kickoff 2015 versus Arizona State. The Zone headquarters, and it can be yours too, is the Holiday Inn NRG Medical Center.
To your seats, get the gnashing teeth.
Welcome back, Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Opera Bloom, Robert Sesna. All right, we got shenanigans news. I'm excited. Well, we'll come back to the text. We'll get to the text in a second.
Cool.
I'm too excited about the shenanigans news. All right, what's going on is the Little League Softball World Series. Now, here's the deal. And then, because this is some solid shenanigans that, frankly, if this was professionals, would be allowed. It's just the fact that it's kids that it's not. All right. So what happened was it was basically pool play with the top two teams.
Advancing?
Yeah, we're going to advance on to this next thing. All right, so the top team was already 3-0 and had defeated the team that was in second. But the team that was in second was thought to be the better team. So that the top team did not want to have to
face.
They did not want to have to face them again in the semifinals. So they had
through the
if
game.
They could lose their last game, it would have eliminated this other team and put a worse team through. So they threw the game. They had every player bunted. They intentionally lost the game, and the other team called shenanigans, and the Little League whatever governing body agreed and made them replay the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They had a one game. They had a playoff, and they made them replay it.
The same teams, the team that bonded played the same team again.
Well, no, they had to play the team that they would have eliminated.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah, the two teams that were involved. So the team that would have been eliminated by them throwing the
game, they got a chance to play.
Yeah, and then the team beat them. So the team that was if this is adults, this is fine. This is smart. You want the best team out, so you would do that.
I like the fact that the league did that, though.
And the league made them. Oh, I don't like it.
I think it showed them that, you know, while you can play within the rules, there's also the right way to play the game. See, I like that.
See, I don't know. Part of me doesn't.
Because
at
that age yet, I don't want them to get into the cutthroat of life that much.
Oh, Mr. No Participation Trophies yesterday.
I'm just saying this.
Now
is,
you don't want them getting into the cutthroat of life.
This is playing for something. When someone's teaching you to kind of circumvent the rules, I don't like that.
Yesterday, no participation trophies.
It's like what you say,
trophies.
It's a different thing. I'm glad the league did that.
Come on. If your best way to win is to eliminate this other team, go for it. Now, to me, as long as
you're
not
the best, beat the best.
They put in, apparently they played out their backups. Now, the bunting thing is where I draw the line. Had they just put in the backups and said, knock yourself
because
out.
Because, you see, there's a way to do that without being caught. That's the problem.
So really is that your lesson?
You would have never known.
So if you're going to throw the game,
don't rub your face in it.
If you're going to throw the game, don't bunt. Just swing
don't
away.
Don't rub your face
just
into it.
Just wildly swing at pitches.
Did you see the Little League game last week when the third base coach pushed a guy and he scored?
I refuse to watch Little League sports.
Well, because it was on ESPN. I don't watch it either, but the team was down by a run in the sixth inning. And time wasn't called, and the catcher went out to the pitcher, and the coach was trying to make him go, and he reached out three times and pushed the kid, and the kid went and scored the tying run, but they called him out. Because coach, you're not allowed to touch him. That was an 11-12-year-old.
Yeah, that... I objectively refused to watch Little League World Series.
I didn't watch it either. It was on ESPN. You know, this YouTube, you can go there and see things like that. Speaking of social media.
I don't.
Clemson players didn't see it.
Someone said Bloom just inadvertently justified Chicago throwing the World Series. No, that's totally different. That's not in the sport. That's you're throwing the title game to get paid. That's totally different.
That's good. That's
no,
good.
But I'm again. I don't know the ages here.
I understand.
If this was if they're old enough, if
see here's the deal. It's not what you know. The Little League World Series. So much is made out of it. Whatever. Then you watch they did cheating with you know from Chicago team or New York with that. Big kid was.
Oh yeah,
the
like 80-year-old pitcher a few years ago, and then, Danny Almonte. Is
then
still going?
Then you see these kids, and their whole life is out there on ESPN. Then they lose, and they're crying, and you know, it's like
I hate. Give
them a snow cone, let them go home.
I hate the Little League World Series.
It's too commercialized when ESPN gets involved. Like, we're here in Waco, the Southwest Regional Championship.
I refuse to. I have my own personal boycott on the Little League World Series. But there you go. Shenanigans
but you like
and
the shenanigans.
Softball. Yeah, yeah.
You're the one that said to do that. But.
Yeah. Oh, I would
step on the plate while you butt. You're automatically out.
I'm pro shenanigans. I would be all for it.
That's why St. Joseph had, you know, they had a rough time when you were coaching.
We were good when I was coaching.
You'd have been good in taps.
I did get. I wasn't shenanigans, but the first game we ever had.
You threw it.
Well, one of the parents was a little upset because now here was the deal. So we had practiced for like 3 weeks with like these whatever 12, 13 guys we had, and then the night before our first game, the football team lost, and so we got all of our football players that day, and so all the players that had practiced played as the varsity, and all the ones that hadn't were the JV. So I had all of the football players, had not worked on a play. I didn't know any of their names or anything. So what we did was for the game, I just said, if we're ahead, just run the offense. Don't shoot. Just run around. We won our first game 10-8. But we won. But some people were like,
you won. That's all that matters.
Well, some people were like, that's not how you do it. I was like, hey, look, I don't know the guys. I don't know who's good.
You won.
I don't even know who's good or not. So that's what we're doing.
No social media.
Someone said this is exactly why the third games of World Cup group stages are played simultaneously to avoid shenanigans. Yeah. And this is why on the final day of the Premier League, everyone plays at the same time. So that there's no every game in the league is the same time.
People have learned that in those pool kind of deals, you do have to play them simultaneously so someone doesn't tank it.
Yeah,
you're right.
If you set it up to fail, then I have
someone
no
will circumvent the rules.
Hey, I'm fine with it. Again, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. I think you play your backups, but you let them play the way that they would play.
And, you know, you change your lineups. You put your outs up at the front. You put your best hitters batting eighth and ninth. I mean, there's ways to do it,
you
know?
You can do it without just blatantly telling your team to
bunt. And you put your slowest guy in the infield so they can't knock the ground balls down. You put your guy that can't catch it first. So that way if they hit the ball, they automatically get on. There's ways you could have done that.
It is kind of sad. The coach talks about when they were watching the Iowa coach, when they were watching the Washington team, as the girls caught on to what they were doing, they started getting mad. They said the quote was, the tears started to pile up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You see, it's girls. It's even worse.
There you go.
It's like...
Someone said, we were talking about the social media ban. Someone said the quote-unquote music at football practice. Garth and Caldwell said some might find that offensive.
It's true.
And then Drew, the Clemson fan, said one more thing. It's something the senior players vote on every year at Clemson. It's a player-imposed ban. Right, I'm sure.
And the ones that voted for it are captains.
Yeah, right. Like the ones that are going to go.
Get extra chicken fried steak.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's all on the players.
It's a secret vote by raise of hands.
Yeah, anyway, so there you go. All that going on. All right. We didn't even get to some of the other stuff we were talking about. Eli Manning wants to be the highest-paid quarterback in football. Ugh.
Which league?
Yeah, that's what I said. Like, in what? The Canadian league?
Ever since he did a commercial?
Yeah.
Which Eli Manning wants to get the real Eli Manning or the other Eli Manning?
Yeah, he shouldn't even be the highest paid quarterback in his division.
Or in New York.
In all of football.
He should be paid more than Geno Smith.
Barely, for now. Anyway, all right, we got to go to break. When we come back, high school report time. Stay with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagles. Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone 102.7 FM. Back to school starts next week, and Texas 211 manager Missy Mora reminds you their services can help.
We do have some things for back to school if parents are still looking for those last minute shots, if they're looking for school supplies, backpacks, doctor appointments, physicals, that sort of thing.
More information is online at 211texas.org. 750 truancy cases were filed in Bryan ISD last year. Superintendent Tommy Wallace addressed the topic last week on WTAW's The Infomaniacs.
The bottom line is, in Bryan, we need our students in school, whether it's Bryan, College Station, Navasota, Hearn, we need the kids in school. When kids, when you look at attendance rate and then you compare that to academic success, you're going to see a correlation. And the more kids are in school, the better.
Wallace says the new law aims to keep students' records clean and decriminalizes truancy, making it more of a civil violation or ticket. Members of the state legislature from Brazos County will answer your questions at Thursday's Chamber of Commerce Economic Outlook briefing. Chamber President Royce Hickman says Senator Charles Schwartner and Representatives John Rainey and Kyle Cassell are scheduled to appear.
They'll talk a little bit about the completed session, but also what's going on over in Austin now, because as you know, there's still a lot of things going on over there.
Tickets for Thursday's luncheon and more information is online at bcschamber.org. Lobster, alligator, and buffalo fried delicacies are among the 8 finalists for this year's State Fair of Texas Best Tasting and Most Creative Foods. Winners will be chosen August 30th. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
Water. Every living thing needs it to survive. The Texas economy runs on water, too. To grow our food, for manufacturing and jobs, to keep our homes and cities running, for recreation, and to create the electricity we use every day. Water. What would we do without it? The water we conserve today can serve us tomorrow. This important message brought to you by the Texas Water Foundation and the Texas Association of Broadcasters.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over 2 decades. On Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902.
Your home for Fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Now, it's time for the High School Report, covering all the local sports action in the community on Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Burt Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Burt Dozer proudly supporting the youth of our Community Larry, I've got to start listening in more on the high school report, apparently, because I might need to know some of this stuff here pretty soon.
Yeah, you're going to be doing high. You're going to be David's sidekick.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking a little Brian football this fall, it sounds like. So getting excited about that. But
okay, if it's the console game and you're there and David's there and I'm there, we better watch out for the single bullet sniper effect there. We don't want to line up or anything.
No, we'll have to stay. We'll have to stay out and not in a direct line. So there you go. Should be fun. But today we're talking volleyball.
Yeah, and I'm excited about this, Aubrey, and I always am, because, man, how great is my life? I get to go to games and matches and talk about and write about sports. But our guest today is going to be Carrie Crabtree, the new head volleyball coach at Franklin High School. And I have only talked to Carrie over the phone, but I think it's very interesting. She's come into our area here and taken over a pretty solid program and a program with some kids coming back. Coach Crabtree, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for being with us. I'm going to ask you to do this, and maybe in a little bit of the Reader's Digest version, but tell our listeners a little bit about your background, because I asked you about this before, because you did take over for Coach Turner, who's decided, I think you said she's still in Franklin, but she just decided not to coach anymore because of family reasons mostly. But tell us about the path that led you to be here to be the head coach at Franklin.
Well, I've had several years. I was running a club volleyball team out in Houston. I was a sports director for Willowbrook Sports Complex, and I decided to get into education about 10 years ago, and I kind of worked my way up, and I was the varsity coach over at Langham Creek High School in the Cypher School District. And then I decided that I wanted to kind of escape Houston life, and I moved to Tyler and took kind of a step down to go work under a mentor for 2 years to grow my coaching. And at that point, then I was looking at coming back towards the Houston area, and Franklin crossed my path, and from there, here we are. It's been an amazing past month, and blessed to be here.
Pretty cool to get to come into a program like this. And we have coaches in different sports and at different schools throughout the whatever it is 28 or so that we cover, that we interview, that we have on the radio, that we write about. And it's always a fun thing when you talk to a coach who comes in and takes over a program that is on good firm footing, you know, is on good ground. You get coaches who are hired because somebody got run off and they've been doing bad for a long time, and you have to kind of start from the ground up. You come in here and you've been dealt a pretty good hand. I mean, you have a program where they've been used to success, and Franklin in all sports in the last decade or so has really I made pretty steady progress and has obviously a true commitment to athletics. Tell us, let's start with this. Tell us about, because you guys started last week, tell us what you did last week. I'm guessing you might have had a season opener on Tuesday or something, and then maybe played in a tournament. But what's y'all's record so far, and how's the first week been?
We've only played two matches. We do not play in a tournament till this weekend. We go to Leon. We opened up Tuesday night against Waco Conley here, and we won that in three. It was a pretty solid showing from my girls. I was very proud. We traveled to Milano on Friday, and we started out slow. We were down 0-2, so we
did.
But we came back and pulled the fifth game out 15-12, which showed a lot to me about these girls. Their fight, they want to win, they're going to do whatever it takes to win, and they practice like they play. It's hard. It's every time they touch the ball, they're giving their best. So Friday night was a huge point, especially for me to see where the girls can go.
Well, I bet you felt a lot better on the bus ride back than you did at the huddle after the first two games. I bet you those next three games really turned things around for you. Talk about how the kids are adjusting to your system. Now, Carrie, when did you get hired? I mean, they haven't had a lot of time with you and your system, have they?
No, they haven't. I was hired in May.
Okay.
And so I actually have been able to talk to Coach Turner, you know, where I've kind of heard about, you know, how she did some things. We've talked about some of the girls, some of the players. But I like to come into a program and not really focus on what has been in the past and just run with it. So, you know, we don't go into specifics about what the players did last year, you know, where they were playing, what positions. I wanted to come in and see for myself where I wanted to put them. But they've adjusted well. You know, coming in with a new philosophy is scary for the girls, but also it's exciting for the girls. We've meshed. We've had fun. You know, we started off our season opener with a spaghetti dinner, a movie night, you know, a team bonding, just to get to know each other. And the girls have really responded. We have fun at practice, and that's my whole part. I want them to enjoy it. They're not, they, you know, they put enough time into volleyball where if they're not enjoying it, then, you know, their life is going to be miserable. So I make sure the practices are encouraging, motivating. We play some music, but they get things done.
We're visiting with the new Franklin volleyball coach, Kerry Crabtree. Coach, you're new to the area, so I'm just going to throw this out there as a, oh, by the way, but when you have events that involve food, you know, always feel free to keep the Eagle sports staff in mind. And once you see some of us, you'll understand why. Coach, you have been, as I said, dealt a good hand. Lady Lions 31-11 last year.
Yes.
Made some noise in the playoffs.
Yes.
You got four starters back, and I was looking at that list and then looking at some of the things that we did. Obviously, I'm trying to get in good with you since it's your first interview with the Eagle. But Darby Hughes, your libero, was our first team All-Brazos Valley selection. I think you had some on the second team as well. But you have some kids back. Talk about first of all, those four starters that you have back. I know they might have different roles in your system, but it's got to feel good to roll the ball out there and see kids that have played at this level.
It feels great. And we have some of the girls actually had a little bit more play time than just the four towards the end of the season. End of the season is what I'm learning. But I have, you know, pretty much four solid players. I have a setter that was on varsity last year. She didn't get a lot of play time. But I also have a newcomer that's a sophomore, and they're running the court really well. We have Hannah McCarver returning in the middle that was dominating last year. But we also have some players that were injured. Jaylee Watkins is back on the court, and she was out all season last year as an outside hitter, right side hitter. We brought up another DS, Jessica Dorsett. She's a sophomore. We have Raylee Nolan hitting right side and left side and really just hitting the ball well. And then we have Mickey Cole and Lonnie Torres that are both working middle and right side as well. So I have an all-around team that can play some different positions. I can mix it up, and that's one thing that got us out of our match on Friday is that third game we were able to change the lineup, and we found something that clicked. And they just ran with it.
When you sent your, you responded to our questionnaire, and we greatly appreciate that. And that's one reason that that the Franklin girls are getting some recognition today, because you were kind enough to do that. But when you sent your questionnaire back, you know, you listed. I know you've got the McCarver girls, and then you have a couple at Darby and one other player back. But then when you mentioned newcomers, I thought it was interesting that you had a senior who missed last year because of injury, but if you get her back healthy, that's got to be a boost. And then the other thing, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't have your questionnaire right here in front of me, but I think Mickey might be the one that you listed at 6'1", and it's never bad to have a newcomer who's 6'1".
No, and she actually was out her freshman year with something with her growth plate or something in her foot. So last year was her first year to play, and she got moved up during playoffs. But so she's still, you know, she's still learning, and she still has that hunger to learn. But yeah, no, believe me, I have no issues with her being a newbie to it.
And Coach, you know what we always say at the end of the game or at the end of the match, they're still 6-1 or still 6-3 or whatever that might be. As we finish up, we got a couple minutes left with Kerry Crabtree, and we appreciate you making the time for us. You guys do have, we ought to mention, you do have a match tonight. So you're playing at home, is that right? Don't you have Centerville, which is a pretty traditionally good program?
Correct.
Has been good in the past. So you have Centerville tonight. Then you'll play in the Leon tournament this weekend, I guess Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I talked to Jason Evans, the Leon volleyball coach, today, and he told me that they've got the tournament coming up, and I've heard there's some really good teams there. And really, if it makes you feel any better, even though Leon's ranked second in the state, you bumped Jason off the air for the guest today, so but he seemed okay with that. And after being on with us, you can kind of see why. But talk about expectations, Kerry. As we finish up, you got a lot of kids back. There's obviously going to be a transition and a learning process. But what's realistic? You seem like a coach who wants the kids to play at a very high level, but to enjoy the experience. What's realistic to expect from a program that had a lot of success last year, has quite a few kids back, but at the same time is learning a new system and going through everything that comes along with that?
They're adjusting really well. We don't have a lot of changes. The girls are playing in their positions. They know what to do. Anytime we have to stop and go over something, I want to make sure they know exactly what we're supposed to do. But my expectation is to continue pushing, to continue winning. I'm not going to settle. I don't expect them to stop playing at any point. We're going to go out, and our goal is to get to state. Our goal is to get to that next match. I know they missed out last year by the one game they lost to White Oak. And, you know, we're focused on district. We're focused on improving every game, every point, but we're also focused on getting the players ready for the next level. So when we have to get to district, when we have to get to postseason, every girl is at their potential, ready to go.
That's Kerry Crabtree. She's a new head volleyball coach at Franklin High School. Kerry, thanks for making the time for us, especially being new to the area and not really knowing what you were getting into when you got a crazy call with a guy asking you to be on the radio. But we do wish you the best. And
thank you.
Next time, you know, maybe we'll be able to talk to you as you start that playoff run towards state. And then, you know, sometimes when we have an open segment, you know, maybe you and I can spend 15 minutes talking about my intramural career, too.
That would be great. I would love to hear it.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Thank you. Have a great day. Okay. Bye.
All right, that's Kerry Crabtree. She's the new Franklin volleyball coach, and it is interesting, Aubrey, and you've been around college and high school sports, but when you get a coach takes over a really successful program, you know, they go to the regionals, you know, and go 31-11, have four starters back, that's a pretty good situation to be a new coach. A lot of times you're a new coach, and your team was next to last in district and had a whole bunch of seniors, you know, or even a team that did real well and had a bunch of seniors who graduated, and the coach thinks the cupboard's bare, but Kerry got a good situation, and they'll do well out at Franklin.
As long as you're not recruiting in the hallways, it was a pretty good situation. So there you go. That was today's High School Report, brought to you by Kelly Bird Dozer, your number one excavating contractor. You can call them at 778-1902. Kelly Bird Dozer, proudly supporting the youth of our community. We'll go to break, come back, and wrap up with the news. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Before construction ever starts on any new home or business, there has to be clearing and site preparation. That's why Kelly Burt Dozer should be your first thought and your first phone call. Kelly Burt Dozer has been clearing the path for progress for over 20 years, commercial or residential. See Kelly Burt Dozer for sand, gravel, topsoil and site preparation, lot, land, and road clearing. Kelly Burt Dozer, 778-1902. That's 778-1902. Here's Brad Beard of Intercon.
As the old saying goes, if your only tool is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. At Intercon, we have a full toolbox to meet your window needs. Perhaps your home is ready for a full retrofit to vinyl windows. This full replacement option beautifies your home while improving thermal efficiency, noise reduction, and dust penetration. On the other hand, your existing windows may just need some maintenance. The glass in your existing windows may be replaced, in many cases, upgraded to more efficient options. The mechanism in your windows can be replaced to allow the window to operate more smoothly. Maybe you just need solar screens on some windows to eliminate hot spots in your home that tax the air conditioning system and make some rooms unlivable. With the breadth and depth of Intercon's knowledge and product offering, we can find the solution that meets your needs and budgetary constraints. Trust your friends at Intercon to understand your needs and use the best tool for the job.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Copy Bridge is an Aggieland tradition, serving their mouth-watering food for over 20 years to the folks of the Brazos Valley. And they want to invite you to enjoy a burger that you've come to know and love, which has been named Best of the Brazos for over a decade. And enjoy their award-winning goodness with $1.75 drafts all day, every Wednesday at both locations. Copy Bridge, serving Aggieland the best big burger in town for over two decades on Harvey and Welburn, both in College Station.
It's time for Tailgater Truths, presented by Dish. Truth number 29. Game day without HD is like a tailgate without bacon-wrapped bacon with a side of bacon. With the Tailgater from Dish, you get mobile satellite TV and quarterback sacking HD. It sets up in 15 quick minutes or less and automatically connects to a satellite signal. So the only games you're playing are the ones you want to. Plus, there's no long-term contracts. You can pay as you go. Or add the Tailgater to your Dish Home account for only $7 a month. So fire up the grill and the TV and start making tail greatness this season. Just be sure to use a napkin before touching that remote, Mr. Bacon Fingers. To learn more, visit dish.com/tailgate. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees. Your home for Fighting Texas Aggie football. Sports Radio, 1150. And The Zone, 102.7 FM.
By Kelly Brown here to tell us what's going on out there in the wide world of the world.
The wide world of the world?
Yeah, yeah. We're the wide world of sports. We already covered everything that's happening. We know what's going on in the wide world of the world.
Okay, well, that's kind of genius, but not so much, Aubrey.
That's how I describe myself, kind of genius, but not so much.
Yeah. Well, the reporters are out there covering a lot of budget things with the city government as well as the school government. We have an inmate who died in custody this morning, so we are following up on that. They believe it was natural causes. He had been sick. He was arrested a few weeks ago in connection with, or he was charged with, assault on a police officer at the emergency room. So, you'll definitely want to go to theeagle.com and MaggieNation.com to check on that. But on a little bit of a lighter subject.
Yeah.
Okay, move-in for the fall semester. You know how they make a big deal of it at Texas A&M now? Like, there is a ceremony almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Leading
There's
up
like
to that.
There's like fireworks and
yeah.
all
so,
kinds of stuff.
That happens this Sunday.
All right.
So
don't leave home on Sunday.
Or maybe you could go in and help these people.
Absolutely.
Maybe you can join them.
Absolutely not.
That's
Sam. Unless I can get paid.
Well,
yeah.
I was going to tell you, they do take volunteer applications. They're no longer being accepted online, okay, guys? But if you call Ruth Ann Wolf at 862-3158, or you just email her at ruth@tamu.edu, Aubrey, you can help people move in this weekend.
Our muscles are huge. I think every year on move-in day, the city of Bryan should do like a Bryan Appreciation Day, where we all go like downtown and get away from the madness in College Station.
I like the way you think, but they are going to have refreshment stations.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, it's a whole thing.
Emergency medical units are out there. I mean, they've got like.
Well, I will
day.
Say
for somebody to drop.
Well, some dads.
It's hot.
And I don't want to just include dads here, but some people go a little overboard. They think they can carry a little more than they really can. It's hot outside. It's a lot going on. I went to A&M. I lived in the dorms. I moved in.
Right.
I know what it's
right.
like. It was,
they didn't have a big hey, it's move-in day.
Oh, they it did was, when I was there.
It was like my dad and me, you know, carrying all my junk up to the fourth floor of Hughes Hall.
Yeah.
I was a huge heartbreaker.
You were an FHKer?
For 1 year, and then I fled on foot to off-campus
This is all over
housing.
My head, just...
I was a commons there. I lived in Aston Hall when I was a freshman.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
South Side is where I was at.
That's right.
I'm like a negative 2%er.
You don't even count.
Sam Peschick, University of Nebraska, is in here right now. So the reason I asked him to join us is because he is doing an investigative story. No, not really. But
it's
a story.
Stuff.
It is. On apparently, we get a call from a student at Blinn telling us that the parking prices have gone through the roof. And here is what Sam has learned so far.
Yeah, so far, found out from a Blinn spokesperson saying that the reason why they are jacking up parking prices is to kind of keep people from, I guess, squatting at Blinn's parking lots. Just, you know, they'll go there in the morning, they'll go to their Blinn classes, and then they'll just leave their cars there all day for the cheaper parking and just go to class at Texas A&M.
Yeah, that's like what you did.
Is it?
And yeah, so that's, and they finally caught on to that?
Yeah, and so as, and so no as like student enrollment goes up at Blinn, it's just been keeping up and keeping up. They're like backlogged in all their parking spaces. And so what they're doing now is to kind of prevent people from doing that, they're making